This podcast is brought to you by Kefir Her. Whether you're feeling the effects of menopause or your menstrual cycle, discover what's key for you in less than 5 minutes with tailored supplement recommendations, information and insights on kefirher.com.
Hi, I'm Renee.
And I'm Donna. Welcome to the Key for Her podcast.
In this series, we aim to educate and open up honest conversations with both medical professionals and real life women.
We want to shine a light on those topics that sometimes go unspoken about and help empower women to know what is key for their health and well-being. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Key for Her podcast. Today, Renee and I will speak with Michelle Hone from Fit Clinic. Your team of nutritionists who specialize in female health, the Fit Clinic has worked with thousands of women, empowering them to understand their bodies so that they can reach optimal health and feel their best. Michelle and her team support women throughout all life stages, helping them to optimize their hormonal health, fertility, and supporting them through pregnancy and beyond. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks a million for joining us.
So where do we start?
We've loads to talk about.
We have 3 hours.
I know, and we probably could talk about it for that long. But I suppose we've so much to talk about. We'll start at the start. So how did you get started in this area? And tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so I suppose I started in sports science in DCU way back when. And I then really quickly, straight away, went on and did a PhD in nutrition. And I set up a page called the Fit Clinic, and I kind of just wanted to, I suppose with a PhD, you get very pigeonholed into one specific topic. And I was like, okay, I want to be able to be really well read in other areas, like if I want to be a nutritionist. So I was like, I set up this page and I wanted to take research articles and make them really easy for people to understand. And very quickly people started to come to me and say, oh, I want you to be my nutritionist. And I was like, no, this is not what this is about. Like, I was like, oh God, like I can't possibly ask people for money. This is insane. And my husband at the time was like, this is insane. Like, you're literally like struggling through your PhD. So you're broke. So I was like, okay, right. I'll just take on like two clients. And that is literally how it started. It was never my intention to be self-employed. And now we have a team of 12 nutritionists. They're amazing. They're absolutely brilliant. So we specialize in female health. Because as you guys know, there's so much that you can do from a nutrition, supplementation and lifestyle perspective to really optimize someone's health and just give them a better quality of life. And then I suppose really we started to niche more into female hormones and fertility when it kind of came for me personally to a point where I was like, okay, let's kind of start thinking about trying for a baby. And there was just no information about what I could be doing to optimize my health. So went to the GP like we all do. Yeah. And all they will say to you, or all I've ever heard them say to anyone, is take folic acid and come back to me in 6 or 12 months, depending on your age, 6 or 12 months if nothing has happened. And the
which feels like an eternity, by the way, because as soon as you decide to start trying,
you want to be pregnant like, yesterday.
Yeah. And you're there out with your ovulation sticks going, when is it happening?
When is it happening? Yeah. So yeah, just this lack of information. And then ultimately for women and for couples, if they don't get pregnant after 6 or 12 months, depending on their age, more than likely it's some sort of a medical intervention or some sort of fertility assistance that they'll go for. When we know from the research, and I started digging the research when I started trying for a baby, there is so much that you can do to optimize your health before trying to conceive. I always use the saying, it takes 12 months to make a baby, not 9 months. So trimester zero is what we call it. So there is a critical 3 to kind of 4 month period before conception where we can really, really do the work in terms of nutrition, supplements, exercise, lifestyle to optimize the health of the egg. So that's a kind of 3-4 month window. And then in terms of sperm, it's to optimize that for the kind of two to three months before conception. So sperm will obviously have a shorter life cycle, whereas obviously with women, we're born with their eggs, but the eggs go through this really cool maturation process over that 3 or 4 months where they're really, really susceptible to what we're doing with our lifestyle. So what we want to do is we want to like wrap a safety blanket around them and protect them from oxidative stress, protect them from inflammation, and just give them all of the raw materials that they need in order to copy the correct number of chromosomes, become a pregnancy, and yeah, the outcome being a healthy baby. So that's essentially where my interest in fertility nutrition came from.
That's so fascinating. So you pretty much have to go into sort of a boot camp. pre-planning boot camp.
So I call it like supercharging. It's like supercharging your eggs and sperm before conception. And a lot of people still don't know about this. I'm really, really trying to change the narrative around it. So like we should be ultimately thinking about, I suppose, conception long before, like 3 to 4 months before we even want to get pregnant. Whereas a lot of people come to us when they're at the end of their tether. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're probably really stressed out. And let's talk about that, because like you said, and I love the way you've such a holistic approach to this, and it's many things that you need to look at in order to get in your little boot camp and planning for that. Stress. Talk a bit about stress. And like you said, people only seek help when they have hit a problem. So yeah, maybe we would discuss that a bit.
So I think when it comes to stressors and stress, like we instinctively think of psychological stressors, like, oh, why am I getting pregnant, or financial stressors and those kind of things. But stressors are also things like what we're doing with our body. So exercise is a stressor on our body. And if we're doing too much exercise, that can be a negative thing for fertility. So it's really about like trying to strike the balance between, yes, exercise is going to be really beneficial in ways for fertility, but if we're doing too much, then it's going to be going over the other direction. So that like exercise is a stressor. People, like a lot of people come to us who are in big calorie deficits, so they're not eating enough, they're trying to lose weight. That's a stressor on your body. Weight loss is going to be a stressor. Not getting sufficient sleep, fasting, skipping meals. So as I said, we routinely think about, okay, well, I'm really chill and I'm really zen. Like, why am I getting pregnant? It's like, well, what are you doing in the gym? And what are you doing with your nutrition? And are you supporting yourself with the right supplements? So it's really important that when we talk about stress, we're not just talking about what's going on in their head. That's what I am always trying to talk about, is to make people aware of what they're doing. Because a lot of people will come to us and they'll be waking up first thing in the morning. You guys know your cortisol, your stress hormone, is already at its highest. That's what wakes us up in the morning to get out of bed. And a lot of people will be running to the gym. They'll be skipping breakfast. They'll be doing fasted HIIT style training sessions. They might have a coffee on top of that, which again, we know is going to increase our stress hormones. And then they finish their gym session and they're like, I'll just eat lunch later on. Mm-hmm. And like cortisol on top of cortisol. And so it's really, really important that we look at what we're doing in our day to day and see, okay, maybe we need to pull back a little bit. Maybe we need to have a good breakfast, or maybe we need to make sure we're not skipping meals, or pull back on the calorie deficit and the weight loss. So it's
more nurturing kind of type thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And nourishing the body. Yeah, 100%. Because ultimately, our body doesn't understand the difference between psychological stress and physical stress. So the way our body sees it is, if we're stressed in work or we're skipping meals, it's like saying to our body, I'm running away from a bear. Like,
yeah, I was just going to say that.
This is not a safe time.
It's not a safe time to get knocked up.
Well, if she can't look after herself and she's running away from a predator and a threat every day of the week, then maybe it's not a good idea to bring a baby into this scenario. Because that's ultimately, you have to kind of go back to that evolutionary perspective, do you know?
And in most cases, if you're planning with the partner, so you have two people and they're all of their lifestyle habits and all of their stresses coming together to try and align. It's got to be hard, right? When you have today's life being as stressful as it is, and then you have work and you have all these other things and trying to get your nutrition right. So the two people trying to align, I suppose, do you find that can be quite difficult from the clients that you meet?
So what's really interesting is anyone who comes to us looking for help with their fertility, it's always the woman. And I offer discovery calls for people who are thinking about signing up. They're not really sure about how the process works. So I'm like, let's just have a little chat. And the amount of clients, guys, that have come to me and they've been like, okay, my nutrition is this, I don't skip meals, I sleep really well, I'm on top of my supplements. And I'm like, oh my God, you're like the perfect client. Like, why aren't you getting pregnant? So I'm like, talk to me about your partner. And they're like, oh no, don't even bring him into the equation. He doesn't even eat vegetables. And I'm like,
And he's probably, or the partner, he or she is thinking, right, well, we have a baby coming in and, you know, we need to start planning. There needs to be more money. There's more stresses coming in on that side. Yeah. And it's,
Like, we kind of tend to take the burden on us when it comes to fertility overall, even if you're just thinking about trying to conceive, or if there's any issues, we tend to be like, oh, well, it must be me. So it's really, really important. Like, it takes two to tango. The genetic material to make an embryo, to make a baby, comes from two people. Like, it is so important that they are on the same journey, that preconception journey with you. I think that's so, so important.
And so, for them, keeping their nutrition right as well, and to perhaps stop smoking and ease off the booze as well, that if they want their swimmers really healthy, they need to make that effort as well. And I suppose there could be, even when people are trying for a baby, there could be that thing in the back of their mind that, you know, maybe he's not fully committed yet. And to actually saying, yeah, I'm ready for a baby, there could be like a psychological thing there that's possibly even holding either partner back. Or I was thinking as well, before I ever got pregnant, I was always afraid, oh my God, what if I put on so much weight? That could be like an emotional thing in the back of your head.
Is that a big part?
Yeah. And especially for women, I think as well, they might be worried.
Yeah, 100%. Like, ultimately, we don't have the research to show, like, if someone doesn't 100% feel mentally ready, we don't know if that does have an effect, but it does make sense. And I have seen cases where that kind of reigns true, if you know what I mean. So it is just important, again, like, to kind of sit down with each other and be like, okay, are we 100% committed to this? Are we in this together? And one thing that I always talk about with our clients is, let me talk to your partner, because if it's you relaying the information, like, it becomes this almost like teacher pupil situation, like a dictatorship. And honestly, it creates more stress and arguments. Do you know what I mean? It's just so critical that it doesn't
make sense.
Yeah. So it's so important. So I always say to them, like, show them my Instagram or show them this video, so that it's not you telling them what to do. It's you helping them empower themselves to understand that what you do in the 2 months before we try for a baby is potentially going to massively impact the outcome of this entire situation. So it's important that it doesn't become this like dictatorship, like snatching the phone out of their pocket, or do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, if they keep their phone in their pocket, it's been shown again in research to be not ideal for semen parameters, or like giving out to them if they come home when they've had a few drinks in them and stuff like
that.
It's important that they empower themselves. So that, because ultimately you guys know that when you're working with someone, if they don't understand the why of why they're changing their behavior, it's never going to stick. So they have to understand the science behind it and have that knowledge and empower themselves.
And sometimes if they hear it from an expert like you, rather than their other half, they're like, okay, yeah, I'll totally do that. And she's probably saying, I've been telling you this for months. And he's like, oh, I'll listen to her. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
So if somebody is very overwhelmed and this is all new to them and they're thinking, yeah, this is the way we want to go now, and where do you start? Is there pillars that you should be looking at, and like exercise, food? Maybe if you could just cover that, it'd be great.
Yeah. So like the first thing, like, we kind of bring our clients through like a fertility checklist. So just kind of get their up-to-date bloods done, just make sure everything's in the right place. The next thing is like, okay, are you getting a regular menstrual cycle? Because if you're getting a regular menstrual cycle, you're more than likely ovulating and therefore you can get pregnant. So a lot of people aren't even aware of this. Like, you have to have a regular menstrual cycle in order to get pregnant because you need to ovulate. Obviously as well, like teaching them, okay, when are the days you can actually get pregnant? So you can actually only get pregnant. You can actually only get pregnant one day in a month, but sperm is going to survive in the female body for maybe even like 5, maybe even 6 days. So you have a kind of a 6 day window where you are fertile. So yeah, in terms of our fertility checklist, it's making sure that our bloods are in place. Our thyroid function is obviously going to be really critical going into pre-pregnancy. Potentially a semen analysis, especially if it's been like a couple of months and you've been trying to conceive, I definitely recommend a semen analysis. I say this to people, they're checking absolutely everything with themselves. And I'm like, has your partner's house to be semen analysis? It's like, they need to be able to swim to get there.
Yes.
They've done all a full battery of tests. And I'm like, this is the basics, you know? And then in terms of nutrition, like, the real kind of golden rule around fertility and what all of the research is suggesting is that it's really around a Mediterranean style diet. So all of your fruits, veg, whole grains, olive oil, good fats, like avocado and stuff like that. Your oily fish is going to be really important. So ultimately, if you look at that diet, it's really colorful. It's really nutrient rich, and it's going to have loads of antioxidants and loads of anti-inflammatories, which is what we want to try and do which is really what we want to try and do for our eggs and sperm and preconception. So Mediterranean diet would be my number one tip. In terms of supplementation, it's really about your good quality prenatal and with methyl folate in it. That's really important. Potentially an omega-3 if you're not eating oily fish, and even potentially additional vitamin D, especially from the months of Halloween to St. Patrick's Day.
When we're not getting enough sun at all, especially in Ireland.
This podcast is brought to you by our very own brand, Kefirher. Whether you're feeling the effects of menopause or your menstrual cycle, discover what's key for you in less than 5 minutes with tailored supplement recommendations, information and insights on kefirher.com.
Please have 20% off on us by using the promo code KEYPODCAST in all capitals. Let's talk a bit more about the menstrual cycle and it being in a good place and you feel like it's good and regular. Like, what would be your key signs of a healthy cycle and what would somebody try to achieve in that space? And especially if they're coming off a birth control, is there time that they need to give their body to come off that birth control? I know they're all very different, but then to get to point three, you're like, okay, things are good now. So just to give them an idea where they should be at and what would be considered a normal healthy cycle.
Yeah. So ideally what we would look for is for clients to be getting a period every 26 to 32 days, ideally 28, but 26 to 32 is perfect. Even kind of pushing it a little bit further to 35, anything less than 26, we don't love to see. And the reason for that is our menstrual cycle is split up into two phases, our follicular phase and our luteal phase. So after ovulation, you have your luteal phase. And after ovulation, in that phase, that's when you get pregnant or you can get pregnant. And the issue that we sometimes see is women who have a much shorter cycle, like 25, 24, even 23 days, is that their luteal phase is quite short. So it could be 9 or 10 days. And ultimately, that stage is so important because that's the really, really early stage of pregnancy when we need to keep our progesterone high. So what can happen is if that phase is too short, we can be shedding the lining of the uterus and getting a period. And that embryo didn't really have a chance to do what it needed to do and take hold. So that's why I say that we like to see women have their cycle length be kind of no less than 26 days. That would be ideal. And then in terms of like your healthy period, it's just making sure that it is like a good color. It's not like you will, like for a lot of people, we will get like kind of a little bit of like brown discharge and spotting beforehand, but just making sure that you do have a full, even 2 to 3 days of like a heavy flow, and it kind of lasts for probably no longer than 7 days. So that would be the sign of a healthy period. And in terms of like of blood loss, and the total blood loss that you should see kind of over the course of your period is kind of in around like 80 mils. And kind of to put that into context for people, that's like 2 shot glasses basically of blood. That would be a sign of a healthy period. And obviously making sure that we're not getting, like there will be certain symptoms like with PMS like that. You might not be able to get away from like a little bit of cramping, but when our cramping is debilitating and we have to be popping painkillers or we're taking days off work, that is a sign that there is something amiss and we need to address that. So just making sure that we don't have any really debilitating symptoms when it comes to our PMS.
Very good. So you've done your little boot camp, you've kind of, you're eating well, and say somebody had come off birth control, they come to you, what's the kind of process then? Do you go through a boot camp program? Is that what you offer?
Yeah. So when it comes to post-pill, it's important to remember that like everyone's going to be different. There are some women who will come off the pill and literally ovulate 14 days later and get their period 1 month later, which is amazing. For some women, like the kind of ballpark figure is it can take up to 6 months for your own hormones to kick in and regulate. Because ultimately what's happened while you're on the pill is you've stopped your hormones doing what they're naturally supposed to do. So for some people, it can take a while for their own system to just reboot and do what it needs to do. And then I always say as well, like look at how your periods were before you went on the pill, because that's generally a good sign of what they're going to be like afterwards.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like if a lot of women have went on the pill maybe when they were younger because they didn't have a period at all. So they were doing it to quote unquote regulate their cycle. If it was a case that you didn't have your period years ago, it's possible that you're going to still have that underlying issue. And this is kind of my, without going into off on a tangent, like this is my issue with the pill being taken to quote unquote regulate your own hormones or kickstart your period, because ultimately, all it does is stops ovulation. It stops you to having your own period. for us, it's really about if you were put on the pill to regulate your cycle and to get your period back, you actually haven't had a period in like 10 years. Because
I know this blows people's mind when we tell them this as well. They actually, the basic stuff we weren't taught properly. And the fact that when you're on the pill, you're not ovulating and that's how it all works is just not information that women widely know. So I think it's important that we covered that today. And so the idea is that when you're coming off the pill, or that you're trying to get your cycle back regular and get it used to ovulating again. So that's why you need the time.
Cut yourself some slack as well, because a lot of people might think they're coming off the pill and then they think, oh, I want to get pregnant straight away. But they need to understand that those hormones can take time to reboot and start working again properly.
And the other thing with, as you said, with people coming off the pill and just wanting to get pregnant straight away, there's nothing wrong with that. But you have to remember, in metabolizing the oral contraceptive pill, you create nutrient deficiencies. Mm. So if you are on the pill and you're not taking some sort of a multivitamin or some sort of a supplement, you're more than likely going to have some sort of a nutrient deficiency, whether it's B vitamins, magnesium, zinc, because in order to metabolize the pill, it kind of robs you of those nutrients. So it wouldn't be ideal to come off the pill and then get pregnant straight away without repleting yourself and building yourself back up and giving yourself those nutrients again. So that's important to bear in mind as well.
Fill your cup back up after and making sure you look after yourself. Sorry, Ren, I cut across you.
I was just going to say there about, you get told about folic acid a lot of the time and everyone knows about folic acid, but really it's generally not that well absorbed. And they should be looking at L-methylfolate. Yeah. So just explain a little bit about folate and
So folic acid is the synthetic version of your vitamin B9. Obviously, vitamin B9 is really, really critical vitamin, but especially for preconception because it's going to reduce the incidence of neural tube defects. The issue with folic acid when you take it in supplement form is it has this big, massive process that it needs to go through in order to be converted into something that we can use by our body. And that's called methylfolate. The issue as well is that up to 60% of the population have a genetic mutation that actually hinders this conversion process. So it makes the conversion process more difficult and more complicated. So it means that less and less of that actual vitamin B9 is going to be absorbed and used by your body. Whereas if you take it in supplement form, in L-methylfolate form, it's already in its active form. So you're bypassing that big complex route that it had to go through and you're getting it in its active usable form and actually absorbing it. So it's much more bioavailable. And again, like it's a good sign of a good supplement because it means that the developers have actually gone and done their research because this is all the latest research. And the thing is as well, you guys probably know that L-methylfolate is more expensive to put into a supplement in comparison to your non-methylated B vitamins. Yeah, it's really important that when you're looking for a good quality supplement that it's methylated folate instead.
Yeah, because we made sure we used that in both of our supplements, key perimenopause, and because it's really important for those going through perimenopause and menopause, but also just a normal, healthy, regular menstrual cycle. You just need that folate in there. The next thing I wanted to ask about are, what are the lifestyle issues that can affect fertility? What's causing different things? Is it factors, not just stress, but in your home, or what are you doing on the weekend? Or like, what is it that's can affect it?
So the ones that most of us would be aware of that would negatively affect our fertility would be smoking and alcohol consumption. So that would be a big one. And it's not saying that we can't, a lot of people, first question they ask, like, do I have to quit wine in this 3 months, trimester zero? And my saying is, when you're trying to conceive, especially if you've had quite a complex journey so far, you should nearly act like you're already pregnant. So like, yes.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, yes, it's okay to have like a glass of wine here and there. Just don't overdo it. And everyone knows what overdoing it is, you know, that would be a big thing. And then if you really want to get more specific around environmental factors, I talk about this a lot, is what we're doing in our kitchen and what we're doing in with our homeware and stuff like that. A really simple example is like, what are you drinking your water out of? So like, are you drinking your water out of a plastic bottle? Because I'm always really mindful that I don't want to come across as scaremongering, but we don't really have the research in terms of what these different plastics what the negative health implications are on our body, especially when we're in that preconception window or when we're pregnant. We know, for example, that BPA is negative for our health. We also know that it can cross the placenta and actually like reach our placenta and through the baby. So we know from the research that has negative health effects, and therefore it's been removed. So you'll see a lot of bottles that will say BPA free.
Yeah.
The issue is that these have been replaced by what's called BPS, which is basically just the exact same thing.
Same but different.
Same but different. You just don't have to read it yet. A lot of people will be like, yeah, no, my bottle is BPA free. I'm like, no, it should be stainless steel or glass. That would be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
And the same with your Tupperware, like what you're bringing your soup in for lunch, like have that as like glass or stainless steel. And also being mindful of what we're like smearing on our body and all of our cosmetics and stuff like that. Obviously, like I'm not saying don't wear makeup, like I'm clearly wearing makeup now, but just being mindful of maybe if you could opt for like the non-paraben like shampoos and conditioners and lotions and stuff like that. And the other one is like air fresheners and plug-in scents and
Oh, here's
we're
Renee
singing
now.
From yeah, the same
yeah, 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 yeah.
Like,
no,
like
this, I hate them. Said for this.
The fragrances like are basically made from a thing called fragrance, which again, they're just chemicals. So like when you smell something nice, it's like you're just sniffing chemicals. And again, like for a lot of people listening, this is, whoa, this is way too much for me. But we work with a lot of people who are just kind of looking to go that extra 10% just to be have the peace of mind that they're doing everything that they can. So just little tips, like only wear your perfume for special occasions. And it's kind of nice like to only wear it for special occasions. But yeah, like your cooking utensils, using stainless steel or wood as opposed to like your plastic ones, like just stuff like that, your colander, your kettle, making sure they're from stainless steel. Do you have any?
I love that, acting like you're already pregnant and living your life in that healthy way and looking after yourself and making sure that everything you're exposing yourself to, you could be exposing your baby to. It's a great way of thinking as well when you're trying to get in the headspace, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm,
hey, do you have any good ones?
I'm really into the no fragrance thing and having like cleaning products that don't smell. And I can't stand scented candles. But even if they're so-called natural, they always seem to have some other chemical in there with them that once they're lit, I can just, my sinus starts to run. I got this headache and I can literally, I feel like I can taste it in my mouth as well. And my son had come home from school and he had gotten a spray deodorant off someone. I was there going sniffing around the house like I was there. I'm going to find this and I know it's somewhere. Get it out. But I think it's our own body's way of telling us that this is not right. It's not good for me. Like, just kind of cut it out. And I know for some people, fragrances are absolutely fine, but they could also be doing damage in another way that they just don't notice. And like that, if they want to go the extra 10% to perhaps stop them.
Yeah. And I think as well, like, not only do we not have the research on specific ingredients, but we definitely don't have the research on all of the cumulative ingredients that we're exposed to in a given day. And it's really about that cumulative load and what kind of effect is that having on our body? What kind of effect is it having on our periods, on our menstrual cycle, on our egg health? What I always say is the best way to put it is, what we don't know, we don't know. We don't know the negative health implications of these things. So it's just easier to just take a little bit of a step back from them and just be mindful of making smart swaps. Like, it doesn't mean that you have to go and dump everything in your kitchen, but like when you're doing your shop and you need to get your detergent or you need to get your dishwasher tablets or you need to buy a new like water bottle, just be mindful of making a smarter swap.
Yeah, because there's small things you're doing every day, but all of that mounts up, right? If you do that over 6 to 12 months, it's a lot of exposure to these things. It's like you said, just being very mindful. You have to take a whole sort of 360 look at your lifestyle and everything that you're doing and maybe making some new choices, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because your life is going to change anyway the minute you become a parent. So you might as well start changing things up.
Also, what I wanted to ask as well, what are your 3 key tips for any couple that, or just single person, anybody that's looking to get pregnant in the next few months? What are the most important things they should consider?
I would say nutrition would be a big one. Biggest tip that I can give is just eat the rainbow. So eat as many different fruits and colored veg. Like, so don't just focus on like, look at your nutrition. Like maybe you're only focusing on your yellows and oranges, like get in those greens, get in those reds, because they all have different nutrients. So eat the rainbow. They all have different antioxidants that are just going to be really, really good for egg health and for sperm health. And the other one is look at your stress, what I call our stress bucket. So we all have our stress bucket. My one might be smaller than yours. So I don't have an ability to cope with as many stresses as you do. So look at it, break it down, lay it all out and say, okay, I'm really busy with deadlines and work over the next couple of months. I'm not sleeping great. Therefore, maybe it's better to pull back on the HIIT training. Yes, I'll exercise, but maybe it's better to prioritize resistance training and maybe keep my sessions 30 minutes instead of an hour long. And maybe it's a good idea to start eating a good quality breakfast. Again, just looking at your stress bucket, taking all your stresses out, laying them on the table and saying, okay, yes, I can do this. I can get away with this, but maybe I can minimize this or not do this. And then the last one would be, I don't know, it's a good question.
Get your partner to look at their stress bucket.
Yeah. It takes two to tango. Make sure that you're on the same page. That would be a big one. It's a team effort. Like it's not you.
And it's not just being left to her to consider all the things that she has to think of. There's enough with her. I suppose he has to do his bit.
We developed a Key for Menstrual and it has loads of the ingredients that you mentioned earlier. That could be a great place to start as well to get your menstrual cycle back on track and to make sure that you're looking after yourself. I suppose as well, it's just getting some relaxation time in, not overstressing, right? What else, guys? Is there any other tips that we can give to anyone listening in?
It's a big one.
Yeah.
I think like for a lot of people, they're what I call it, their sleep hygiene isn't great. So the best way to have good sleep hygiene is your room should be like pitch black. Get blackout curtains if you need to. It should be slightly cool, so not too warm. And what are you doing before bed? Like if you're staring at your laptop or watching.
Practicing.
But like if you're kind of exposing yourself to blue light from your laptop, from your phone, from the TV, that's basically telling our body it's daytime. Our body doesn't understand the difference between sunlight and blue light. In order to like get that melatonin, that sleep hormone that we need to have high towards the end of the day, we need to limit our blue light exposure kind of in the, I even like have like a little wind down window where you take some time to do like your skincare and have a shower, anything like that. Like read your book, whatever it is.
Make you feel good.
Yeah. Have a little ritual for yourself, even if it's only like 15 minutes.
One interesting thing, I always remember I heard this, it was on the Ray Darcy show years ago, and they were talking to various different couples where they had problems getting pregnant and infertility issues. So they had asked a lot of people to basically have sex every day for an entire month. And there was some of those couples where they had been trying for a very long time and all of a sudden they got pregnant. And they were talking to a doctor on the show, and what the doctor was saying was, I suppose a lot of people were only looking for day 14 as that must be ovulation day. And that's the day when you just do it and that's it. But what they had noticed was some people were ovulating a good few days before they thought they were ovulating or else after, like the window is so much bigger. And that they were saying that because they were having sex every single day, I know it's a big ask, but they did it as, they did it for science. But anyway, a lot of these couples, they ended up conceiving after trying for a long time.
That's, and it's amazing.
Just maybe just talk a little bit about ovulation and that, how it's not always just day 14. It really can be either side of it, because it was quite interesting. It always stuck in my head that.
And we talk all about the nutrition and stresses, blah, blah, blah. Getting down to the business here, you know, you have to plan around that as well. And do you have any advice there? Yeah.
So I suppose what's interesting is the textbook menstrual cycle, or what we learn is like you ovulate on day 14 and that you get your period after 28 days. But I actually did a talk, and I'm going to start doing this more often. I did talk to like 100 people a few weeks ago, and I was like, okay, hands up who ovulates on day 14. One person. There was only one person who'd ovulate on day 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
And like the rest are like 11 and 12 and 13. Like, so me personally, I have tracked my cycle for God, like probably the last 10 years. I don't think I've ever ovulated on day 14. Not one.
That's it.
Always.
But all the data out there is all about day 14. And I remember when I got pregnant and they were, you know, doing the dating scan thing and they were like, what day was your last period? And I don't know, I told them and they were like, well, that doesn't make sense because you seem to have gotten pregnant here. And I was like, no, I'm really sure of my dates. But I think I just ovulated sooner than day 14. So it's a good job we were doing practicing.
Which is possible. And there's no issues with that. There's no issues with, like, unless you're kind of ovulating after like day 18, 19, 20, that's like, and therefore pushing your cycle into like over a 35 day cycle. Mm-hmm. That would be, I would say, kind of a little bit irregular. We need to just tighten things up a little bit. And then the other thing is as well around how often you should be having sex. So the research shows that you should be having sex every second day in order to optimize your fertility. It's almost like the sperm actually needs a little bit of a break.
It's a bit of a time. I'm wearing them out.
So yeah, every second day has been shown in research to be the most effective method.
Okay, that's fascinating. That's really good for people to know. I didn't actually know that myself. So there you go.
So like my rule of thumb is like once your period is finished, then that's the best time to start. Because remember that you're going to be fertile up to 6 days beforehand. And then a lot of people might ovulate on day 12. So the easiest thing to do is just sex every second day after your period.
Don't miss the magical window. Oh, funny.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for coming on, because I think these are really interesting tips and a lot of people wouldn't have known all of this information. Say, for example, when someone does get pregnant, then do they generally keep coming to see you throughout the pregnancy, or do you see them up to a point and then what happens after the baby?
Yeah. So like it generally depends on the person. Like it is nice to see them through for the first couple of weeks, especially if they've had any kind of history of early pregnancy loss in the past. And then after the kind of 12 weeks, then we kind of feel a little bit safe to wish them farewell. And then, a lot of people come back to us in the postpartum period.
This is really important. I think
so, it blows my mind that we give ourselves so much. We nourish ourselves. We look after ourselves in pregnancy. And then everyone stops even taking their multivitamins after they've had a baby. You know, your baby has robbed you of everything.
Yes, this is what I've been saying this for years.
Is empty.
Like, and then like sleepless nights. Who eats that well in those early few weeks? Obviously, you're getting the odd like lasagna and stuff, which is great from family members and stuff. Yeah. But for the most part, your nutrition, like, it's not well thought out. It's not well prepared. Therefore, you're more than likely nutrient deficient. So it's
and
really
if you're breastfeeding, it's like you can double down on that. I remember after I had my first baby, my legs were so dry from my knees down. I don't know why. They were all like
your omegas or your fatty acids are like your internal moisturizer.
Yeah.
If you've dry skin, a lot of people will be like applying loads of lotion. But sometimes, like most of the time, it's actually internal. It's like let's look at your
I think so too.
And you have to remember how high breast milk is in fatty acids.
Yeah.
So more than likely it was the case that you were just getting robbed of all your fatty acids.
Oh, I think so. Towards the end of the pregnancy, my skin had gotten so dry. And I think that a lot of people are like, is there anything I could do for you or anything like that, cooking them food? Bring them good supplements and some omega-3s and make sure they take them. Because I think for those women that might have postnatal depression, it can really be linked with that huge drop in hormones. And if they could possibly support their hormones and keep supporting themselves in that trimester four, they could feel so much better. Because it's bad enough when they're sleep deprived, but throw in crazy hormones as well all over the place, it can literally make you feel awful.
Yeah, I don't know.
Even if they just start with supplements and just try, that could be their start of their new daily routine, looking after themselves, because the focus goes straight off of you onto the baby and you're almost invisible for the guts of a year, you know, and your cup is empty. So you got to make sure you're looking after yourself.
Even if it's something as simple as just taking like a good quality multivitamin, that's huge for someone who is so depleted postpartum.
Yeah. It's something that can happen so easily. They just kind of tend to forget about themselves and it's all about the baby. But
and then that baby gets a little bit bigger and then you go and try and do it again and you can't understand why you can't get pregnant because you're exhausted and you're totally deficient of everything. So it's, I think the rule here and the key here is you just got to look after yourself in every way that you can, right?
Yeah. You can't pour from an empty cup.
That's it. So yeah. Michelle, how can our listeners find you on social or the website?
Yeah, so all about you? We're the Fit Clinic on Instagram and thefitclinic.ie is our website.
Super.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Key for Her podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could hit subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends.
For tips, tricks, and hacks on all things perimenopause, menopause, periods, menstrual cycles, and skin health, follow us at Key for Her on TikTok and Instagram.
Check out our website, keyforher.com, for more information.